And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, February 28th, 2026. And we welcome you folks out there, and I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning.
Well, guys, thanks for being here this morning. Will, would you start us off with a word of prayer this morning, please, sir?
You bet. Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here with my brothers this morning. And, Lord, I pray that you will be in this conversation from the beginning to the end, Lord, and everywhere in the middle, and that our words and our thoughts that we express out to our family that's listening to us, Lord, that they will be pleasing to your ears. And, Lord, I just pray that we find a little bit of clarity in this world of chaos that just doesn't make sense, Lord. It is so reassuring to know that you are the God of order and that you have a perfect finished plan for each and every one of us, Lord, in our individual lives, but also for this world, Lord, that your kingdom is built upon. And I just pray, Lord, that you will be with us now and bless this conversation, and just bless these men that I'm here with. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I guess we probably ought to start off with probably what everybody else is talking about this morning, and that is the bombing of Iran.
Well, it's certainly on everybody's mind, I'm sure. I mean, how could it not be, right?
I know, exactly. I have not got a lot of details on it. Tim, why don't you start us off?
Well, this morning, and I don't know the time difference right off the top of my head, but Iran was bombed and they did a major offensive. And as of now, I just got info in. I guess Iran is what. It's interesting that we bombed them, and so they're bombing Israel. You know. I mean, to me, to my way of thinking, that kind of lines up with, so are we responsible for this, or are we doing an Israeli lapdog thing? And I think the answer of who's being attacked and a counterattack would kind of clarify that, don't you think, a little bit?
There's a headline I'm pulling up. It's this is off of RT.com, and the headline to me, I saw it this morning, and it makes me scratch
That's
my
the one
head
that I saw, too. Just, yeah.
I don't know, Jay. Maybe. I don't know. But it says, Israel declares nationwide emergency after it strikes Tehran. And I thought to myself, what? you declare war on another country, and then you try to make it look like you're the victim.
Yeah, exactly.
I wag the dog. I don't know. I don't know. I know Iran has hit U.S. bases in Qatar or Qatar, depending on how you want to say it. And I know they've targeted some maybe in Jordan as well. I don't know if you guys have heard, but it's not just Israel that Iran is striking. They're striking out at some other countries too, which I just got to imagine isn't going to turn out well.
Right. Well, and why does that, you know, and to me, this whole business, I mean, and you know, you read it, there's a lot to unwind here. Can you tell?
But, sure.
It's like, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say too, you know, one of the first ones that I saw early this morning was that 57 school children, Israel strikes and kills 57 school children in Iran City. And, they said 56 of these were girls, and it was a girls' school that they bombed. So, Anyway, I just
I bet that wasn't an accident.
I don't think it was either. No.
I mean, that's targeted. That sounds a lot like something that would happen in, I don't know, Gaza. I don't know. You know, offline, Tim and I were talking a little bit about this, and I'm no expert, so I can't fully explain it, but I saw a pretty good commentary early this morning saying this makes total sense when you look at the Jewish mysticism that permeates their government over there, that I guess tonight there is a blood moon with six planets lined up, and it is the beginning of the Jewish holiday of Purim, P-U-R-I-M, and this is all kind of, what's the word, Tim? Witchcraft? I don't know if that's the right way of saying it or not.
I think you're right, yeah.
That the United States is, whether we know it or not know it, just playing into Jewish witchcraft and their mystical traditions that I'm pretty sure we were warned not to listen to by Jesus Christ. And here we are playing into this, and it's just it's bloodletting. And so here we are. I saw one guy who is an American pastor. You know, he's a pulpit pimp pastor, but nonetheless, he was defending this, saying that if you go back and look at the ancient King Haman from the Book of Esther, that he was actually Iranian, and this is the state of Israel preemptively killing the Iranians, just like the Book of Esther, and this is ordained by God.
No, gee whiz.
Yes, I heard that with my own two ears this morning, and I just thought, like, that's kind of a stretch. I mean, that's it's ridiculous, but the thing is, guys, and I guess this is my point, there are people in this country that believe all that. That believe that this is you know, ordained by God, and they're going to rah-rah this thing all the way to annihilation.
Yeah. Well, and they're the same people who believe that those people over there are the people of the book, you know. And it's like, and if you get into, Christ warned us about this whole deal. We talked about that too, and I think that, you know, Christ warned us that there were those who called themselves his people who weren't, you know, and they're agent provocateurs, they're infiltrators, and that's, I mean, basically, if you get into this Kabbalistic ritual that that Will's talking about, they're using us as a golem, you know, I mean, that's what it is, and that's one of their creatures that, you know, protects them, and they created it to protect them from any kind of persecution. And, you know, you can be persecuted whether you're in the right or whether you're in the wrong. I mean, it doesn't, your godly moral situation doesn't, persecution can afflict anyone. I mean, it mostly depends on your idea of persecution depends on where you're at. If you're the bad guys and you're being arrested, you're being persecuted. If you're the good guys and you're being killed, why, you're being persecuted. So persecution is an equal opportunity, you know, actor. But one of the funny things to me is in the Jewish literature is the golem often becomes unruly and uncontrollable and poses a threat to its creator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, they're playing with fire, and
that's right.
I
the thing is I've read a lot of headlines and looked at a couple of these stories, but you know, President Trump comes out and says the U.S. defending American people is and we're protecting American people by striking Iran. And what a load of garbage. And he posted an 8-minute video on X, and it just outlined basically saying that the reason that we did this is because we needed to protect America from an imminent threat that was coming from Iran, which we all know that that's not true. And but what one of the things that he outlined, I'm trying to find the exact quote, he described them as a vicious group of very hard, terrible people, adding that its menacing activities directly endangered the United States, our troops, our bases overseas, and our allies throughout the world. I think that the problem is he's got the two groups mixed up. He should be talking about Israel.
There you go.
And I mean, it's like the way that I see this thing played out is Israel wanted us to bomb Iran. And so we did.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything. Go ahead, bro. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Well, there's nothing so high as my high and mighty or thought provoking in that as we're going to free the Iranian people who are currently demonstrating right to take back their country from these Muslim, right. Boneheads and, get it back. I mean, does anybody really talk about a derail? I mean, do you think this will derail that problem, the chaos, the damage and everything? It's like, well, yeah, you can have your country back, but there won't be anything left. I mean, it would seem to me that if you really wanted to get rid of the missile threat, which as far as I could tell from every intelligence report I could find to read, it's not an issue. But
kind of like looking for weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like, has this ever been done before? Go back and look. You got the Bay of Pigs, the Gulf of Tonkin, Iraq and Afghanistan, weapons of mass destruction. The list is long.
Same old playbook.
It is. Yep. So, different names in different places.
I'll throw this in there just for an anecdotal story. Someone who's passed on now that was very near and dear to me, way back, going back, whatever, it's been 23, 24 years now, since the invasion of Iraq and, Colin Powell. And if you remember, there was a German intelligence report that absolutely before Congress, they said there's weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and Saddam Hussein's going to use them and all of that. Well, from boots on the ground at that time, before the invasion, I was told, well, there are weapons of mass destruction that we provided to Iraq when they were fighting Iran in the 1970s and 80s that has Uncle Sam stamped all over them, and it was sarin gas and different things. And prior to the invasion, because those are important weapons, we, the U.S. government, assisted in taking those across the border to Syria, those weapons of mass destruction, so that when we went and invaded Iraq, if you remember, we never found them. And we didn't find them because the United States Special Forces had gotten them across the border into Syria. And just a few years ago, when it came time to unseat Assad in Syria, what did they say? There's weapons of mass destruction, and he's gassing his own people, and we know it's there. Well, of course it's there.
We took it there
back in 2003. Yes. So, I mean, when you stop and look at this, I can't call what I want to call it on air, but it's a good thing that you can fertilize your garden with is what it is. It really is. But I wanted to ask you guys this, if you saw this, because I think this was a very telling point this week, because Tuesday, there was the State of the Union address, and I can say I didn't watch it. I watched the highlights of it after the fact, but there was one moment. And traditionally, whoever the sitting president from whatever ruling party, he'll make a comment, and typically his party stands up and they clap and cheer, and the other party, looks like they got a thorn in their foot and they don't stand up and that sort of thing. There was only one time during that, there was one incident during that State of the Union address where both the Democrats and Republicans stood to their feet and clapped their hands. And that is when Trump talked about we have to take out the regime in Iran.
Really?
That was the, yes, that was the only time that both the Republicans and the Democrats stood to their feet in unison, unified, and gave a standing ovation to the president when he talked about we can't let them have a nuclear program and we have to take them out. And I when I saw that, I thought, we just take a snapshot of this, of everybody standing, and you'll find out who has received Jewish money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AIPAC.
AIPAC much? Right. And there were there were a couple of people who didn't. Tom Massey from Kentucky, he didn't stand up. Rand Paul from Kentucky didn't stand up. But the majority of those folks did. So when I saw that, that's when I knew, I don't know, it's going to be this week. This is coming because the die has already been cast, and we're gonna do this. And we're doing it, and that's the thing is none of us are, maybe Tim, but me and Jason, we're not geniuses. But if you look at this, it is clear that Iran poses no threat. Going back to that headline that Jason was talking about, Iran poses no threat to the United States homeland or our people.
Exactly.
Period. Period. There is no threat to us. And we are expending, and it's not just the lives that we are taking over there, folks. This is not going to be cheap. This is our money, our tax money that is paying for this. This is going to be probably in the billions of dollars. And it's for one purpose, for one people. And that people ain't us. It is for that bastard state in the Middle East, the Jews. That is why we're doing this. And it makes me sick to my stomach, guys. I just, you talk about puppet masters and pulling strings, it just makes me sick to my stomach.
Well, not just the economic part of it too, but God has a thing, and God keeps score. And you don't think that we can go over there and bomb the living daylights out of a country and kill people like that and get away with it.
That's right.
It's as a people, we reap what we sow, and as a nation, we reap is what we sow. And our nation can't go over there and be doing stuff like this and just, sit back and laugh and smile and, say, oh, cheers to this, and get away with it. It is not going to be, I don't believe it's going to be overlooked by God.
I don't either. And I
don't either.
And as far as talking about a lot of these things going over there and there being no existential threat to the United States, the only real threat that they would pose possibly would be the illegal aliens or terrorists coming into our country in that way that would bring in or be bad actors. And, there's that issue there that supposedly is trying to be handled here. And the other thing I see this as is a huge diversion on Epstein. I mean, I think this.
Amen.
If you think about the fact, I don't think a lot of people really realize, they're beginning to, but I don't think a lot of people really realize how huge all this is. The amount of distaste, distrust, and outright disgust that has been directed toward the Israeli state as a result of Epstein. I mean, you can see it on social media. You can see it going around because people are figuring out that this is equal to that. You know what I mean? It's like, this was an operation by them to stabilize our government, to blackmail our politicians and our people and our leaders and a lot of that kind of stuff in this country. And now we definitely have to have something to divert this attention away from this and make it become a, you know, nothing burger. So, boom.
Yeah.
I mean, what would be the large? Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I think. I mean, I think.
Good point. We got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Yeah, morning, Jason. I just was going to call in, and, well, I got a praise report, you know, and stuff. My leg was bothering me a little bit last night, but like I told you, I found out my doctor's a Christian. But I wanted to make a comment on, we watched most of that President's thing Tuesday night. It had some real touching moments to it. But I don't know if anybody else that watched it noticed that when some of the men stood up, they did their Roman salute where you take your right hand and put it across your heart. I don't know if anybody noticed that, but I noticed it. Sheila didn't notice it, but I'm just curious if they did.
I didn't notice that. I don't know if anybody else did or not. That's a good point, though. I'll have to go look at it.
Well, another thing that made me think of having that surgery on Thursday, it made me think about Luke. You know, he is the physician. Could you imagine Luke when the Lord came along, you know? Man, I've been doing it the hard way all these years. But thank you, Jesus, my doctor is a physician, and well, I'll let you carry on with your program. And
well, thanks for calling, Warren.
Bye.
Bye.
The last group of people who did the Roman salute, man, they got in trouble.
Yeah.
So,
major issues. Yeah.
Major, gotcha. Major issues. Yeah.
Go ahead, Will.
Go ahead, Jason. I was just going to touch on, Tim was talking about immigration and these Iranians, you know, those folks are already here. And yeah. You know, you got to look at, too, as far as what is going on now. This is just a cleanup operation because the damage has already been done. And going back, and I know I'm preaching to the choir with you guys. I remember, like, Colonel Moore and Pastor Earl Jones and Pastor Peters preaching. I remember distinctly hearing a message with Colonel Moore talking about the Revolutionary Guard and having sleeper cells in the United States, to the point of I was a young teenager, and that might have been the first time I heard of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and that sort of thing. So I'm going to tell you, I think they've been here for 20 or 30 years, maybe awaiting orders. And yeah. We've just never been foolish enough to have an all-out war with Iran. I don't know. I don't want that to be fear-mongering, Jason, but this isn't anything new is all that I was going to say. I think that there's been element of that Iranian government here for some time. I don't know. What do y'all think about that?
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's a very good point.
And I think also, you know, there's a standing, what do we want to call it, rumor in the intelligence community. I don't know whether it's true or not. I don't know how you'd find out, but that supposedly there are remote bombs planted in different ports and stuff. Container-wise across the United States, I mean, that's as old as, that's like you say, yep. 20 years, 30 years old. It's not anything new. Is it true? I don't know. I mean, but it definitely should be a weighting factor in some of the thoughts. I mean, you know, we talk about getting things out. We talk about getting out these aliens. We talk about a lot of other things. I mean, there's containers that sit over there in the, I don't know if anybody's ever been into the docks. If you've ever been there, the amount of containers that are piled up out there boggles the mind. And that's at every major port in the United States, whether it's West Coast, East Coast, Gulf Coast. It doesn't really matter. It's just like it's a city when you pull in there. So
sure.
things go in. I mean, it certainly does not defy the imagination that there could be such things in place there that have been sitting there for 20 years. You know, I mean, they just pay the rent on the container and it sits there. So there's those kinds of issues too. That's not fear mongering. It's just awareness. Yeah, I thought about that too. If you wanted to have missiles that could reach the United States, you just launch a missile and blow up a container. Well, there it was, a strike. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of ways you could play that stuff out. And it really hasn't been talked about yet, but there's no declaration of war by Congress. And, you know, the things in our country work certain ways. I mean, there are procedures. They're there for a reason, but we don't have that. I mean, you know, so there was no declaration, but here we are again. So that always leaves me going, kind of shaking my head.
I'll be a smart aleck for a minute, Tim, and just say those procedures were written in the Constitution, and that was before the Jewish state of Israel took control of our government. So I think that they've tried to make those procedures null and void.
They certainly do. Yeah. Back to the bribery.
Yes.
The Bible talks about that. They all had their hands out for a bribe, and I think when we see that, that's why we talk about the AIPAC money and everything else. It's a case of buying people's allegiances and buying their vote and controlling the outcome. They're just using old-fashioned graft. I mean, when you get right down to it, it's nothing so noble as nation building or protection of other peoples that are under evil influences. It's just money, you know. So
yeah, it was interesting. Did you guys, either one of you, watch the Tucker Huckabee interview earlier this week?
I did.
And
wasn't that something?
That was something. I mean, and in that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that Tucker asked him, he's like, well, you know, what about what the people want? And Huckabee, you know, said, yeah, well, we want to do what, you know, what the people want. And he said, well, you know, less than 20% of the people of the United States want to declare war on Iran. And, you know, and then he kind of changed his tune, didn't he?
Yep.
And, yeah, it was interesting. But, I mean, it was they talked in depth about bombing Iran and, you know, or getting into a war with Iran, I should say, and basically said that, you know, Tucker's like, hey, you know, the people don't want it. And Huckabee's like, yeah, well, it doesn't matter. We're going to do it anyway. And
they're going to get it. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, he's a Jew-controlled 100%. I mean, it really shows. I don't know. It was telling, and it was kind of interesting that it happened just earlier this week too. After what's happened, I want to go watch it again to tell you the truth.
I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but I've seen some of it. It was interesting.
My favorite part of that, and this is kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but it fits perfectly right now. My favorite part of that is the part of that interview when Tucker was talking to Huckabee, and Huckabee was defending the Jews and relating them that they are the people of the book, and they have these ancient claims to the land and these ties or whatever. And I don't know if you guys saw when Tucker challenged him and said, well, we have the technology. Why don't we go and DNA test all of these people and find out where they really came from?
Yeah, they don't want that.
Yeah.
That was good, yes.
That is... by the way, I went to pick up that story. I wanted to read the actual quote from it, and I had saved the URL and I clicked on it, and I just got this, that that story is unavailable due to legal reasons.
Yeah, man.
Interesting. So, very
there
interesting.
You go.
Yeah. Censorship at its finest.
Anyways. But I think that's, I thought that you know, we talk about people having stones and that sort of thing. And when I saw that, I just thought, you know, I get it. People say lots of stuff. I've heard everything that for Tucker Carlson is a, you know, just an opposition plant working for the CIA or whatever. I thought to myself, well, he may be, but that's the truth. And I'm glad he's saying it, because whether he's a shill or not, people can go research for themselves. I mean, he went as far as calling Benjamin Netanyahu out. Yeah. I mean, did y'all see that?
He did.
Where he said Benjamin Netanyahu's not from Israel. You know, he has no ties to this region, you know, as far as his, you know, his history or his genetics or whatever. And I just thought that was fantastic.
I did,
because,
too.
You know, Tim, you've talked about most of these people are Ukrainian or Polish, and they all change their names to make it sound more Middle Eastern or whatever. And at the end of the day, they're nothing more than Middle Eastern carpetbaggers. They're right. Like every other tribe that moved into these European countries and here into the United States that found themselves expelled, because they come in and they take the names of the local population and that sort of thing. And, man, I just thought it was wonderful. I thought that part of the conversation especially was wonderful, because Tucker showed some stone and told the sitting U.S. ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, told him to his face, don't you think we need to go genetically test these people because they're imposters?
Yeah. Yeah, you haven't seen very many people come up and say something like that to him.
No, you know, well, and go ahead, Tim.
Oh, no. I find it significantly interesting that, I'm not lauding Afghanistan as far as a lot of their religious or political views, but you know, you can't kick those people out of there. They're in tight. I mean, it's like Russia went in there and tried to take it over, failure. We went in there, not so hot. Every major war power in the world has tried to do that. And they're like, no, we were born here. We live here. This is our land. We're not leaving. You know, we may be buried here, but we're not going anywhere. And then you look at the Israelis over there, and they wouldn't last 10 seconds without the big hammer that says U.S. on the side of it. You know, I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, you got to have all this major defense.
And
so, yeah.
And there's a great point to that, Tim. But you're talking about these Afghanis, these tribes that are up there in the mountains and all that, that for generation over generation over generation, this is their land. Well, that's not the Israelis' land. And that's why they have to have someone else fight and die for it, because it's not theirs. You know, all of this stuff a few weeks ago about stolen land this and stolen land that, if you want to look at the biggest land thieves, look at the Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, yeah, it's just, it really, if you get down to it, it's just kind of common sense.
And I don't know if it was in this interview or if it was a different one, but Will, you might remember. But it was in one of the recent ones that Tucker came out and said that, you know, it wasn't this, you know, May 14th, 1948 is not in Bible prophecy, and it doesn't have anything to do with biblical prophecy or Israel becoming the state of Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, he's come up with some really good stuff that, you know, that we would agree with, you know, agree on 100%. And
sure,
you know, he's putting it out there. So I see that as encouraging. And I've had the same thing. I've had people tell me he's a plant, he's an informant, he's just there to cause opposition, this and that. But I'll tell you what, with what he's coming out and what he's saying, it's like people need to hear it. And I think it's waking a lot of people up because people are asking these questions of, okay, well, if these aren't, if this isn't Israel, then who is? So I say praise God for that.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's the problem with brandishing even little bits of truth around or beat people over the head with it is other people notice, you know, and then they start asking questions and the answers become dangerous to them. That's why we need the warfare thing, is because it's just war, you know, we're on this side, and nobody says, why are we on this side? I think one of the things that interested me was, and I can't remember who he was talking to, and this was an earlier Tucker interview, it was before Charlie was killed, but he was talking to, I can almost say it, but anyways, he said, well, you know, we're going to protect Israel. That's what we do. This, that's our job. And he said, you don't really have a dog in the fight. Tucker said, well, I'm a Christian. I do have a dog in the fight. Wait a minute. You know, I mean, I'm a Christian. What about? And it's like, well, if we don't have a dog in the fight, what are we doing over there? You know,
That was the interview with Ted Cruz, Senator from Texas.
That's what it was. Yep. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Thank you. But Ted, he's just a brain fallout. I was elected to protect Israel. I mean, he says that without unashamedly.
Ted Cruz is not even an American. And I can prove that, but with Tucker, you know, saying what he had said to Mike Huckabee and, you know, what we were just talking about, that is a mosquito eyelash away from Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are the Jews, but are not. We're so close to that. I mean, and that's the thing, is if this is opposition, at least the opposition is using the truth to be the opposition. And there are going to be those that truth, it doesn't fall on deaf ears. It falls on ears that want to know more, and they're going to find out the truth. And if it's just a small remnant, that's fine. That's what we're promised. But I'm excited about it. You guys stop and think. I mean, you know, Tim, you've been in this for a long time. Have you ever seen a major talking head saying the things that Tucker Carlson say?
No, it would never make it to air if they did. I mean, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I look at that as all very, very positive. I say praise the Lord for it.
Amen. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's God says his word won't return to him void. And that's the red letter words in the Bible. But I think it also even goes a little further into the fact that it's the thought processes and the ideals that are promoted, biblically speaking. And so at the very least, if they are agents of the dark side or of the satanic side, when they start batting that around, it's really dangerous, because if it catches fire, it will consume their house. And the Bible talks about those fires of consumption burning there. They'll be like straw and stubble. And I think, and he said, behold, the fire's already been kindled. I think the fire's burning. And it's kind of like people are, you look at just like social media, you look around on different things, there's all kinds of people going, wait a minute, you know, so, and talking about the issues that are going on. It's like, we don't have a duty to protect those people. We don't have a duty. And why do they need, you know, the other thing is when you protect someone that you love or you care about, you have a reason that you protect them. If it's your children or your wife or your family or whatever, and somebody's kicking the door in and you defend them, there was a reason for that, because there was an intruder, because there was a situation there that is extreme. And, somebody in a foreign land, if those things are going on, what is our duty to them? What are they to us? You know, and that sounds really harsh, like you don't have any humanitarianism in your heart, but it's like, you don't know anything about the situation over there, and you're playing with fire. You might be on the wrong side, you know. I mean, wake up and fighting on the wrong side, that's going to be pretty detrimental to you. Go ahead, Bill.
I want to remind everybody of this little piece of scripture, and I know Jason loves to share this scripture, and that's Obadiah 1:18, and it's just going right along with what you're talking about, Tim. And that's, then the house of Jacob will be a fire and the house of Joseph a flame, but the house of Esau will be like stubble, and they will set them on fire and consume them, so that there will be no survivor of the house of Esau, for the Lord God has spoken.
Amen. Yeah. I bet they don't like that one at all.
I bet not. Tim, I'll bet you a big ribeye dinner that's not going to get preached from one pulpit on Sunday morning in the United States this Sunday.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right. Yeah.
Unless it's in La Porte, Colorado.
I was going to say, you really want to say that?
I hedged my bet that way. Yeah. All this talk of the...
I'll take that bet, Jason.
Yeah.
I need a ribeye. Yeah.
But, what's going on with this war? So we've been talking about world war and worldly news. We got about 15 minutes before we break. But Afghanistan, Pakistan, man, I was looking into this a little bit. And, you know, Afghanistan bombing Pakistan, Pakistan saying, well, it's retaliation for them bombing us. And they're saying, well, that was because they started bombing us first. And one thing, and this is a side note, but one thing that I'm looking at is, man, they got a lot of U.S. weapons over there. Just looking at the pictures that they've been posting on this, which is and not surprising by any means, but what's the story with Afghanistan and Pakistan?
Well, they don't like first off, they don't like each other. First off, you're right. You look at these pictures of these Afghanis, and I mean, they're wearing M65 field jackets from the 80s still. Like, I mean, it is obvious we've been propping up Afghanistan for a long time, and that's fine. This last time we propped them up, that was when Biden just decided to leave all of our stuff there and leave. But it's like anything, Jason. You know, the Pakis don't like the Afghanis, and the Indians don't like the Pakis, and it's just tribal. I don't know. Is that the right way to say it, Tim?
Tribal,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Every one of those borders over there is really a line of demarcation as far as they don't, you know, this side of the line's us, that side of the line's you, and we don't like you. And it's like right back at you, bud. You know, so, yeah.
It's been some years ago. It was when we were hot and heavy in Afghanistan, and I went back and tried to go through the historical record of it. And, there isn't other than border clashes of like what's happening right now in the immediate region. I don't want anybody to accuse me of defending anybody. I'm not, but Afghanistan as a whole, they have never shown aggression towards those out of their immediate area. In other words, when the Brits were fighting the Afghanis, back in the 19th century and all of that, that's because the British went there and invaded their country and set it up as a colony, and the Afghanis didn't like that. So, I mean, there's clear record of of the Afghans being a warlike people, but it has always been with invaders. And they're very territorial, and they generally keep to themselves. And like you were saying earlier, Tim, I'm not trying to build up the Afghani people or anything like that, but I can't find an incident in recorded history where they've ever been beat in war.
No, no, they pretty much have. I mean, they've been beaten on, but usually they're still there when it's all over. So, yeah.
That's right.
And they're kind of like, if you look up the axiom of battle in the war training, they're the perfect example of you cannot take over a country occupied by its people and who are unwilling to, you know, who maintain their borders and everything else. And I think that's a perfect example of this. I mean, they'll use horses and bold action rifles with great success, you know, against some of the greatest war machines in the world, you know. So, yes. Yeah.
And generally speaking, and I do mean this complimentary toward them because I think it's a great example for our own people. Generally speaking, if you look at the Afghan people, they are culturally pure. They have not intermarried with other nations and that sort of thing. They have remained Afghanis, and I think that's what ties them so closely to their land, like you're talking about, Tim, is they train up generation after generation that's willing to die to protect their borders against foreigners, and I think that's admirable. I do.
Yeah. Well,
they're doing it with our weapons.
Yeah. I seen where the PAF, I think that's whatever, the PACs, they hit.
Right.
They hit a military base over there called Camp Phoenix, which was a depot. We were talking about the older weapons. And that's where the Afghans had stored all the U.S. military leftovers, you know, arms, ammo, artillery, vehicles, and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, they're definitely old gear is still gear. So, you know, well, that's why I think we're seeing that all come out. But, yeah, they use what they got. And but this is probably another, I mean, one of the things that I can remember talking to some guys that were, you know, military guys that had was the fact that place over there, they called it the sandbox, but, you know, they've been at war forever. That is a way of life.
Yep.
Over there. It never stops. I mean, so for us to think that we're going to go over there after literally hundreds or even thousands of years of those people having that lifestyle, and we're going to bring peace to the region is a pipe dream. You know, it's like, no, it doesn't happen. The deep seated hatreds and, stuff that are there, you don't make those go away by force or by anything else. And it's not a religion of peace. We've seen that. If we haven't learned anything from there, we should understand that. So you're not going to mollify it. You're not going to pacify it. If you want to buy oil from over there, you say, well, whichever regime's in power today, tell us who to send the check to. You know, I mean, it's like, it's just, that's the way it is. So
I want to jump back a little bit. I just ran across an article, and I think it's worth the reading a little bit. And the title of it was Remember AMLEC. CNN says timing of Iran attack bears symbolic meaning in Judaism. Tel Shalava, CNN reporter, says the timing of the U.S. and Israel attack on Iran bears symbolic meaning in Judaism. Ahead of the upcoming Jewish holiday of Purim, worshippers read the specific portion from the Old Testament known as Zakor. She continues by explaining that the Israelites were commanded to remember an incident assault by Amalek and eradicate their memory once they have returned to their homeland. The passage from the book of Deuteronomy commands the ancient Israelites to remember an unprovoked attack by the nation of Amalek and eradicate the memory of Amalek once the Israelites are settled in their land. The passage is read publicly before Purim to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering Amalek as Israel's enemy. Amalek has been used as a term to describe various threats to the Jewish people and Israel over the centuries, including Hitler and Nazis. In recent years, the term has been applied to Iranians, who are also said to pose an extraterrestrial threat to Israel. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu viewed Iran as Amalek as far back as 2009, when the country's nuclear capacity was already a growing concern. Since the Iran's, it has continued to calls for the destruction of Israel, arming and funding terror attacks. Anyway, it goes on and on. And then it drops down into Tucker Carlson brings up the undeniable fact that Benjamin Netanyahu used the biblical story of Amalek to explicitly call for genocide of the Palestinian people in Gaza. Huckabee attempts to defend it, but Tucker completely shuts him down. Anyway, it goes on, and then it drops down into Netanyahu thanking President Donald Trump for his historic leadership. And anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, the story, you read it, but, you know, if you just change the names and you change the players, you could actually make it fit. But when you don't know who Israel is, it changes the whole text.
Yeah, that's right, Jim. That's interesting. We were talking about that earlier. That's why it's so important you understand who God's people actually are, because, without it, the letter is kind of skewed and useless.
Well, so. If you put it in perspective, and we as Christians, right, we're followers of Jesus Christ, and you look at what Jesus Christ said about these Jews, and Jesus Christ said they're liars. They're liars from the beginning. They do the work of their father, who is the father of lies. So are we to believe that these people that have taken this holier-than-thou attitude of the story of Purim and the Amalekites and all of this, that they're the Israelites? Well, Jesus said they were liars.
Right.
Yeah. And
so,
You read the Revelation 2:9 scripture, and you know, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. We got a double witness on it right there.
That's right. That's right. And so you stop and look at that, and we're just taking this at face value because the news media, which they control, or Hollywood, which they control, or, you know, the modern pulpits, which they control. You look at all of these things that are telling us that they're God's chosen people, and they're using these stories like what you just read, Jason, and all of that. And sheep that are being led astray are just believing it wholesale, instead of going back to the red letters and looking at what Jesus Christ told us about these people. And what he told us was they're liars. They're not who they say they are. He said it more than once. And I'm a simple guy. I'm just going to boil it down to the CNN story or Benjamin Netanyahu or John Hagee or Mike Huckabee or whoever these other pimps are. I think I'm going to side with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a Huckabeean. I'm not, you know, anything like that. I'm a Christian, and I'm gonna side with the guy who branded me, and I'm gonna ride for that brand, and that's all that it comes down to.
Well, and isn't it interesting that they cherry pick the bits they want? I mean,
that's right.
Well, we got to have that. But Jesus, no, he was not real, not this, not that. I mean, anything to do, they cherry pick what they want. The rest isn't there, and it doesn't matter what the Bible says or anything. They're just going to cherry pick the parts that they want out.
They didn't murder Jesus for healing the sick. They didn't murder Jesus for feeding the poor. They murdered Jesus because he was telling the truth about them, and that couldn't get out. You know, it wasn't just that he was a good teacher or that he was, you know, doing good, what we would call humanitarian things. It was the fact that he was speaking out against Jewish power and influence of the day. and the perversion of God's law and these people claiming to be what they aren't. And that's why he had to be taken out. And nothing is new under the sun as far as I'm concerned. Anyway.
Yeah, still going on today. Yeah.
Still going on today. The same thing. Yep, absolutely. Jesus isn't bodily here with us. The Holy Spirit's here. We know how you get the Holy Spirit. It's Acts 2:38. You know, it's through baptism. That's how we're saved and how we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what have they done? Thanks to Cyrus Schofield and that lot, they did everything they could to minimize baptism and to do away with the importance of the Holy Spirit, because just like they murdered Jesus in physical body during that time, they've done everything they can to murder the Holy Spirit and to erase it from every pulpit and every church in this country. Nothing is new under the sun. The Jews are doing the same thing that they did bodily to Jesus, to the church today. It's just a different kind of assassination.
Absolutely. Trying to make your salvation of no effect. Yeah.
That's right. That is right.
Well, we are just about to the top of the hour. We're going to take a break here in just a second. But just had a... Oops, I hit the wrong button. Wanted to play this real quick.
It's sad to say, but what this next song says is the way it is in the modern church world today.
Isn't it this? No truth I hear. Tickle my ears with sweet sounds that make me feel good. So send in the clown, teach me the word, just the part about love. Tell a good joke or two, but keep the time down. The buffet gets full, so send in the clown. I think that I know the Lord. As long as you don't tell me more. I've grown comfortable here. I know the game. It may be lies, but how good I feel. I have no desire to change. I think it's all real. And where is the clown? Send in the clown. We'll be raptured this year. The Bible I hold, it looks good with me. I've even opened it once, but never to read. Sorry I fear. Where is the clown? Quick, send me the clown. I want only the clown.
Well, I apologize. That wasn't the one that I thought it was. It was a different sound clip, but it was kind of applicable. We're going to take a quick song and take a quick break, have a quick song, and we'll be right back.
Preachers say man only needs to believe. A lying preacher wants a man who doesn't read. A lying and twisting truth, stealing skin and bones. A mind that's weak against Satan who's strong. Praise John 3:16 and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in the pit. Jesus, please don't call me because I can't go. Some preacher lied to me and stole my soul. I was born again one morning. I thought it was time. I walked up to the altar and I said he was mine. Prayed John 3:16 and nothing more. And the preacher man said, well, bless my soul. Prayed John 3:16 and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in the pit. Jesus, please don't call me cause I can't go. Some preacher lied to me and stole my soul. To be reborn, you need the latter rain. Repentance and water calling out his name. I was raised a new creation by his blood. No, Satan can't take me off of the line. Obey Acts 2:38 and what do you get? Set free from sin and the Holy Spirit. Jesus will cleanse you and make you whole. No more hell to pay, he'll save your soul. If you see him coming, better step aside. A lot of sinners won't, they will certainly die. Our prayers are iron and the word is steel. If the first one don't get you, then the second one will. Obey Acts 2:38 and what do you get? Set free from sin and the Holy Spirit. Jesus will cleanse you and make you whole. No more hell to pay, he'll save your soul. No more hell to pay, he'll save your soul.
And we're back. Hour two of Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And where do you want to go next, guys?
Well, I seen that... We'll put that in, but we had an Air Force pilot arrested for training the Chinese military. I thought that was, especially in
particular
times, doesn't that seem a little self-deprecating? So, what was that all about? Money? I mean, or what?
I don't know. The headline there is a former Air Force fighter pilot with 2 decades of experience with nuclear delivery systems and aircraft, including the F-35 stealth jet, was arrested and charged with conspiring to help the Chinese military. And this guy was out of Indiana. He's a 65-year-old guy. And it says that he had one or more lengthy trips recently to China, where it's believed that he not only briefed officials from the Chinese defense establishment, but also provided training to the Chinese PLA military pilots. I don't know. We're not at war with them. Is that treason? I don't know what that would be.
Oh, I think it'd be treason. But
I think it'd be treason.
Yeah, I agree.
Pretty good chance on that. So.
I don't know. I would think that this is, I don't know. I would think this goes on more than we know. I just wonder why this is making news. I don't know.
Yes. Well, it is interesting because I actually seen stuff go by this morning about China throwing support into Iran. Militarily speaking, as a result of this morning's attack. And, of course, everybody, all the talking heads are like, well, what's that going to look like? Because it's probably not going to be direct military attack, you know, or military hardware. But still, that, and then you see this, it's kind of like, so, I mean, if we know that some of this was coming, and we did, just didn't know the when part, but when you know some of this is coming, is it any surprise that they're reaching out trying to get more information about things like A-10s, F-35s, different aerial assault vehicles, if you want to call them that? So you know, we've got, I mean, then we're talking about China over there doing that. And then we've also had an awful lot of information on here recently that we've talked about all of these bio labs and biological attack labs that are Chinese in the United States. So there's an element here of this that probably dovetails into this Iranian attack too. That's probably a lot bigger than we know. I mean, just a thought.
One of the things that occurred to me is, I'm not even really trying to be funny. I'm being serious when I say this. You know, we're all waiting for, I shouldn't say, we're all waiting for some high profile arrests, whether it's coming out of these Epstein files or whatever the case may be. And what I thought when I saw this, you know, was, well, the Clintons sold military secrets to the Chinese back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Are they going to get arrested?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they've been Teflon coated up till now. I mean, when you consider the amount of deaths that surround even associating with them or anything else, isn't that they seem to, like I say, they're Teflon coated, and it's like, wow, that's
well, it's probably all political theater. I know they both got called up to D.C. to give testimony to Congress in the wake of these Epstein stuff that's going on. But I just, you know, and I'm not for this guy. If he's treasonous to the United States and our people, and he's selling out military secrets, you hang him from the gallows. I mean, that's what especially an officer in the military, that's what should happen to him. But I just go back and look at the former commander in chief and her husband, who was sitting in the White House. They were selling secrets to the Chinese. What's going to happen to them? And the answer is probably nothing, because like you said, Jim, they're Teflon.
Well, and the hypocrisy that exists in all of this is never lost on a guy. When you really start looking into it, it's like, wow, you know, I mean, it depends on who you are, how much money you have, and how well connected you are. I mean, it's nothing more or less than we talk about the cartels in Mexico, and we talk about the mafia, and we talk about a lot of those sort of things. But that's all this is. It's just, I mean, it's just on a different scale and a different level. And it's like, no, you're not part of that group, so you don't get those protections. But yeah, and we can throw you under the bus, and that might take some heat off somebody else who's more important to it. But yeah, and I'm not saying what he did was right anyway. I don't think it was.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, my thinking on it is it's obfuscation again of the government's probably known this guy's been doing this for a while, and they just need more headlines, right? To move that pea and that walnut shell in the opposite direction and have us follow that. But, Jason, I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on for a second. Is that okay?
Go right ahead.
All right. So something that, and I didn't, there's no notes or anything on this, so let's just wing it. But something that's interesting with the timing of this Iran deal that's going on, and I got something to say about that here in a second too, but, and I mean, it's Cuba, it's Iran, it's China, it's whatever, it's all of this stuff. Did you guys catch, maybe when you think about conspiracy theories, you know, and you think about all of this stuff that we've heard over the years, there's one family name that always rises to the top, right? And that's the Rothschilds. And it's usually, you know, it's anti-Semitic to talk about the Rothschild, whatever. You know, it's always dismissed off as this is just a wealthy family that gets blamed for everything. Did you see how many times the Rothschilds are mentioned in the Epstein file? At least 12,000 times. At least 12,000 times. And there is at least two emails, where Jeffrey Epstein says he is an agent of the Rothschilds.
Really?
Yes, I've read the emails. It is, and I didn't read them from some conspiracy site. I read them from Congress, because that's where you can access this from a .gov address. And they're cataloging them now, so you can go find them and read them yourself. And he claimed to be working for the Rothschilds directly. And I look at this and I think, well, I thought all that was supposed to be conspiracy theory, and that, you know, the Rothschilds, just this wealthy family or whatever. But when you look at it, in this one instance, and I don't know, I may be telling you guys things that you know, he was arranging Bill Gates' meeting with the Rothschilds. Jeffrey Epstein was acting as the intermediary between the Rothschild family and Bill Gates for a weekend getaway. Have y'all seen this?
I did. Yeah.
Yes, I had heard about it, yeah.
And I'm looking at that thinking of, I don't know, what do you guys think of that?
I think it's very possible. I mean, control and power and money and, yeah, I mean, it all fits.
And I'm going to say, just throw this out again, not trying to be funny, but just realistic, is I'm not so sure there's much conspiracy theory left anymore.
Amen.
Most of these things that we're kind of out of this.
Well,
now,
one thing that this whole thing is made me think about is these dang pedophiles, they're everywhere. It's like
everywhere.
Every time you turn around, it's like, I guess I grew up very well protected and didn't realize how much of this stuff went on. But you start looking into it, and it's everywhere. I mean, anybody that was there's exceptions to the rule, but anybody from Hollywood, anybody that rose to any kind of power, it seems like they were involved in this. And just talking to people, I guess it's been around. It's been around forever. But I didn't realize how bad and how deep that it actually went. I think that they really do want to cover it up. I remember the quotes. It's like, this is who said it, that, you know, if we prosecute everybody that's in these Epstein files, that it's going to crash the system. And
Pam Bondi, the attorney general.
Okay, that's what I thought. And it's like, okay, well, yeah. Then let's crash the party. Let's get this party started.
What's so great about it anyways? Yeah, exactly.
I
feel the same way.
And there's nothing new. You know, what you were talking about, Tim, there is no real conspiracy theory anymore. It's, if anything, it's just fact now that's come out. What you're talking about, Jason, from Hollywood and all of that. But, you know, you go back in time and, you know, we remember people like Ted Gunderson, right? And all of those times that he appeared on, like, Dr. Stan's show, and he was talking about the satanic child abuse rings and all of that sort of stuff. And at the time, you know, that was the fringe. That was, you know, people said that's crazy talk. Even though this guy was the special agent in charge of the Los Angeles FBI office, you know, he was labeled to be a crazy man. And you look at all of this, and now here we are, 30 and in some cases 40 plus years, like the Franklin cover up in Nebraska and all of that, and where we're at now. And you're looking back on it, and, you know, for those people who remember, those people who know. And we look back on it and think it wasn't an accident that so many children were coming up missing. You know, if you guys remember, it got so bad. You remember they were putting it on the milk carton. There was a campaign. You couldn't go buy a half gallon of milk without having a missing kid on the side of the milk cart. And there was untold, truly, you know, into the millions of children that have gone missing over the last several decades. And I think it's coming out more and more and more that it's organized. It is an evil cabal of human traffickers that are using these children for purposes I don't even really want to talk about. And it's for one reason, and it is the ritualistic bloodletting that our enemy is known for. It is nothing new. If you go back and research this, there is a reason, you know, we've talked about in the last couple of weeks that they've been expelled from 109, 110, you know, countries or whatever. And it's because of their filthy debauchery and Kabbalistic witchcraft crap that they practice to this day. There is nothing new. They get their power from the blood of the innocent. That is why they want war after war. Jason, there's no mistake that they killed 56 children in the beginning of this today, because they get their power from that.
Yeah.
The blood of the innocent. This is what they do. I got something I want to read. And it is not our speed as far as who it's coming from, but I'm going to tell you, there is so much truth in this, and I hope nobody gets mad. I'm going to credit who it's coming from. So in the 1990s, there was a rap group, and I'm not a rap guy. I don't know anything about rap music, but there was a rap group of two females, and Salt and Peppa was the name of this rap group. Well, one of the ladies' name was Cheryl James. Okay. Cheryl James was her name. She's in her 50s now. And she made out of nowhere a post, a social media post. And I want you to hear what this woman said. Now, this is a Grammy Award winning, on the top of the music charts, whatever. She was at the pinnacle, right, of Hollywood and that music industry and all of that. Listen to her words. Quote, they own the government, the politics, Democrats and Republicans, the court system, the education system, the banks, the Federal Reserve, real estate, farms, Hollywood, what we watch, the music we listen to, the media, what we believe, sports, big pharma, everything. The globalists own it. We, the people, pay taxes to fund their operations and buy houses from them before mimicking the infamous World Economic Forum slogan, but we're going to own nothing and be happy. We've been pitted against each other like crazy forever. Black versus white, poor versus rich, men versus women, Democrats versus Republicans, Muslims and Christians. We fight over narratives they created, and they create them to keep us divided. Wow. They're Satanists. They hunt, they kill, they sexually assault, they sacrifice, torture, and cannibalize us and harvest the organs of our children. They groom our children and over-sexualize them, teaching them inappropriate things in school. They start wars, and they tell us it's for our country, that it's our country, or it's the religion of another's country. They're our enemy. Our kids go to war to defend their lives. They fund both sides of the war and make billions of dollars while our family members are sacrificed for them. They're purposely poisoning our water, our air, our food, so go support your local farmer. I understand that not everyone has access to this, but buy fresh, real food, buy land if you can, grow your food. It's in your heart, and it's what you need to do, and it is the way that we fight the New World Order. She wow. says, the New World Order and one world government, one currency, one world dictatorship is what they want, and we have to fight it, or we will have no rights at all. What do y'all think about that?
Wow. that's pretty much in a very accurate and amazing analogy of everything in one song.
I mean, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, no kidding.
I came across that, and I don't know any of that stuff that she sang or whatever. But this is someone. I guess you could say maybe she was on the inside. I don't know if you would say that or not, but she certainly would have been exposed to those people who control the music industry or whatever. Doing a little bit more reading up on her just after the fact, she's been out of the picture for a couple of decades now. I guess she started speaking out several years back, and guess what? Her career completely ended when she started speaking out. And I find that it's kind of like we're going back talking about Tucker and all of that. I don't know anything about this woman. She may not be a very good woman at all, but I can tell you this, at least what she said here is the truth, and I applaud her for it. More and more people is my point. And it's not just our people. You know, this is a middle-aged black woman that's telling the truth, and good on her for doing it.
Yes. Well, you know, they talk about she was talking about, they play both sides of it. And one of the things that came out here, I did a little research on, and of course, all of the truth verification websites are like, no, that's not the case. But when you dig deeper, like normal, they lie. I mean, they're all controlled and owned. And one of the things was Ghislaine Maxwell's sister, Isabel, started Amber Alert. So, you know.
Isn't that something, Tim?
Yeah, it's just like, oh, let's control both sides. So, that's interesting. And when that ties back into, I was also doing some research on, you talked about the Rothschilds earlier. I did a little research on Epstein, and the Epsteins were, along with the Gutmans and the Rothschilds, were really big Vienna bankers in Austria.
Mm.
You know, and there is a building to this day still stands over there in Vienna. I don't know how you say that word, Ringstrabe, but it was built by Gustav Ritter von Epstein, which was, a progenitor of this guy in 1870, still stands today. So, they were all in it together. So why would that surprise us? I mean, that goes back a little ways. That's a hot minute, 1870, and you can bet it was going on before that. So, this is a very deep-seated conspiracy, not theory. it's a conspiracy, but
one of the things that we're lied to about is, you know, these are just businessmen, right? And they have business ties and all of that thing. Well, their business ties are written in blood. They're blood ties, and it's blood ties through their genetic makeup as far as them being who they are. But more importantly, it's also blood ties of the actual bloodletting, that blood libel they have on their hands that has existed since they murdered Jesus Christ. And all of the sacrifices that could have continued out through the ages that fall on their head, they are tied by that blood. And that is why they're hell-bent, that they will stand by each other. You know, and we've talked about this, and I'll just bring it up, is Israel is a non-extradition safe haven for fill in the blank of pedophiles or whatever you want to call it. That is, in my opinion, it is a nation state that was created not because it's their homeland. That's just the lie that they tell you. Like we were talking about, they're liars, and of their father, the father of lies. What it is a criminal capital that they are able to wreak havoc across the entire world, and it is a safe haven for their people, the Jews, that they have the ability to, if they can get there, the government of the state of Israel will shield them and protect them. That's why the state of Israel exists. In my opinion, Tim, I mean, I'm sure it exists for other reasons too. You know, I look at it as, you know, when you were a kid, you were playing tag, you're running around in the yard, and maybe the big pecan tree or the big oak tree or whatever, that was home base. And if you can get to home base, you can't get tagged and you can't be put out of the game. Well, that's all Tel Aviv is. Israel. It's just home base for all of these bastard Jews that they can go do whatever they do on the world's stage, and if they can make it to hit Israel, they're scot-free. Yeah. I don't know. Sorry, Tim. That was just
that's a good point. I mean, that's one of the big things right now that's coming out is that basically they'll take every pedophile that's under investigation or anything else. They can migrate there, and they're scot-free, you know, home base.
That's right.
So
that's right.
It's going on all over the world.
It is. It truly is. And I don't know. I don't necessarily want to transition back to it because I'm sure we got other things to talk about. But it's coming over the wire that Israeli media is claiming that the Ayatollah Khomeini has been killed in these strikes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or severely injured, right?
So I don't know how that'll play out on the world stage. I don't know. I know Russia isn't very happy right now. I don't know if you guys have seen any of that or not, but they released a statement here just a little bit ago saying that they're condemning it. They're calling this a pre-planned and unprovoked act of armed aggression against a sovereign and independent UN member state. And they don't have very nice words. And they accuse the U.S. and Israel of plunging the Middle East into an abyss of uncontrolled escalation. I'm not sure they're wrong about that.
I'm not either. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll see how all that plays out, but I don't know. I look at this and, you know, I'm not a fan of Iran. But I kind of look at it as maybe Syria was the build up to this, you know, at a much smaller scale. Obviously Syria didn't have, the resources that Iran has, but Syria, very much a westernized nation. You know, they weren't a nation of ragheads riding camels, and neither is Iran. And I'm not agreeing. I'm like Tim. You know, I don't agree with the Muslim controlled government that they have or anything like that, but. Have y'all heard any explanation of why we're really doing this? Is it just the nuclear thing? Has there been any justification that you've heard of where there was a direct threat against the United States, or are they not even trying to hide it this time? Is it just Israel?
Well, that's my opinion of it. I mean, to me, the whole thing sounds a little weak in the knees. I mean, we're talking about the nuclear proliferation of arms, supposedly, and then kind of in the background, there's some mumbling about the fact that they want to help regime change over there. But these are all, like, I mean, you've already got people demonstrating they're supposedly making great headway against them, so... I'm not sure how does destruction of all infrastructure and healthcare facilities and stuff like that help when you're trying to change it from within? Why is that our? The bottom line is why is it our business? That's what I always ask.
Amen.
So that's my two cents worth.
You know, I'll remind everybody listening too that as far as this nuclear proliferation crap, the Iranian government was cooperating with the International Atomic Energy Association or Administration, I guess, Administration Commission, whatever it is, IAEAC or whatever it is. However, there is one Middle Eastern country that has never allowed any type of inspection, and that's Israel. Yeah. That they continuously refuse any type of international inspection of what they have or don't have in the way of nuclear weapons. But I guess that's rules for thee and not for me, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what the world, if the Ayatollah ends up truly being taken out in this, it'll be interesting to see what the world views that as. What do you guys think? It's early yet. We got 30 minutes or so, a little bit less. But as Americans here, and it's kind of a broad question, but what do you see an event like this? How does it affect us here? What do you see coming as far as the fallout maybe? And I don't know if this is a prepper tip of the week or what, but in the scheme of things, where do you see this taking us, Tim, as far as Americans?
Well, I think market-wise, we're going to see the Dow's already down substantially, so you're going to see some at least short-term crashes there. Brent crude is going to respond by going back up. Not that I think gas prices are cheap or anything, but you know, it's going to run it back up because, again, you're back into the Mideast where supposedly that has some bearing on our oil prices, which never really makes sense to me since we're the largest exporter in the world. But I would look for this just for free, and I think you're going to see the metals market go back up. I mean, it's already not at previous levels, but I think it's going to go even higher just due to financial unrest, not that necessarily that's a bad thing, but that's the short version. I mean, I'm sure that, I don't know how it's going to affect our military spending, but, they're always trying to jack that up ever higher. So, you know, you got that too, right? And I think that and that's part of the reason I think we're beating the drum on Epstein is unless we keep, that's the one they want to get everybody's mind off of, whatever it takes to get them off that, whether it's UFOs and aliens or, which is a bunch of crap, but, you know, my opinion, whatever.
And the more sensational, the better.
Caller on the line. Let's go ahead and go to the caller real quick. Hello, caller.
Good morning, man.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Will. Hey, Tim. Wow, this is good this morning, isn't it? It's good. Break this boil, maybe. Down that Israel place. I'll start soft. You know, we still have no SAVE Act. They let that go by, didn't they? That's Republican leadership, really. We still have the War Powers Resolution from 73. You know, they got that in there, the Vietnam stuff. I haven't seen any Chinese response to this. Have any of you?
I have not.
No, sir.
I can't find it. I looked all over the place. And there was a joke, Trump's considering nominating Cruz for Supreme Court. He said that down in Corpus Christi. Will, you brought up one of the two other examples of Epstein's. Was that Franklin cover-up? And
yes, sir.
Wow. When you get into that can of worms, it went right into controlling all politicians, didn't it? They were supplying all them with all that ungodly acts that they were doing. And there's a English example of that, Jimmy Savile. You know about him?
Yeah, sure do.
He did. Yeah, he sure did the same thing to the people in England, didn't he? He kept them under control.
Yes, sir.
He was even a necromancer. Ugh, gosh. He had contacts with the morgue. Oh, it's just incredible filth. I'm sorry to even bring that up. And he brought up some good names. Eustace Mullins. There was a talk show host, like 99, 98, up till Y2K, Chris Gerner, out in Southern California. And he had a talk show that ran like 6 hours at night, midnight till about 6 a.m. I was out there installing solar equipment for him. And he was live talking with Eustace Mullins. Boy, did that ever add to my knowledge. It was just really great. Then that spun off to Ezra Pound, that poet. And,
yep.
Yeah, this, it's been known for a long time. Boy,
Eustace Mullins worked for Ezra Pound, Kevin.
He did.
Mm-hmm. Oh. He was Ezra Pound's personal secretary, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I was just reading both the bios on him. And that Ezra Pound, he wrote prolifically, didn't he? Just he did support some controversial people, Mussolini, et cetera. And I almost won't knock him for Hitler. And I the sleeper cell thing, what do you think? Think any of that will materialize?
I think at some point it will. I don't know if this is going to be the one that's going to start it, but I mean, that's what I was thinking about when Will was talking about retaliation and, you know, what's it going to bring on this nation. I mean, I don't know what it is, but there's something. I really believe that something's going to happen in, you know, the United States.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I also think that, you know, we also have to wonder if it is it already going on. We don't know. I mean, you know, there's certain things there. You know, sometimes it's hard to find out a lot of those things, and considering that mainstream news is controlled and everything else. I mean, you know, there's, will you know when, or we only know when they want you to, or, you know, things like that. And timing is everything. And there's a lot of control mechanisms in place to make sure the timing is right for them in that regard. So.
That's a good opinion, Guileth. I really see that way, Tim. Yeah, yeah, I do too. Yeah, I think it might be tomorrow.
Could be.
I'd be surprised if.
Well, and it is. We're talking about China, and one of the things that China did come out about, the only thing I seen on there was what we have to remember is Iran is a member of the SCO, and also BRICS. And the SCO is the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. I think they were approved as a full member in 2021 or somewhere right around in there. So this gives them, and then the China's making a lot of noise right now in the UN, legitimizing, you know, Tehran's power and authority over their own lands. And so... Even though they may not be sending tanks, but it was just about a month or two ago they were doing joint security exercises in the Strait of Hormuz. So there's there's that there too. So China definitely what would you say, has a dog in the fight as far as legitimately speaking from their organizational aspect?
Yeah, they sure do. Yes, they do. Yeah. Well, it's going to be very interesting and hopefully not sad for us. It demoralizes our country to the nth degree to me, following along, doing the bidding of these imposters. Well, thank you, gentlemen. You really presented good information again, and God bless you. Take good care.
Thanks, Kevin. We appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Kevin. Thank you, Kevin.
Have a good weekend. God bless.
You too.
Well, and I guess I did get a text, and somebody said I should give the phone number out. And that phone number to call in is 970-224-4203. 970-224-4203. Yeah, I guess
go ahead.
Well, I was just
going to say. Suggesting. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Tim.
There are some reports out there saying that China supposedly either is sending or has sent over what they call their J-20th fighter jets, J-10 aircraft, and their HQ-9 air defense system. But there's been no official confirmation. Well, there wouldn't be, would there? I mean,
nope.
You know. So, yeah, but anyway, there's that for free. So.
Well, let's go to the phone lines again. Hello, caller.
Morning, man. This is Terry from Lake George, New York.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
Well, I'm doing better. Yesterday, I was able to walk over a mile and shovel snow and able to eat food again before the fair. I couldn't eat something because the stain from that boil was well up against my jaw and even open my mouth. But I use lemon oil for the white and precious scent. I've been using that as well. And I have to use a little alcohol, and I use my cannabis that I get from the local pharmacy to control the pain, because I had pain every day. I mean, I turn my head. If I go too far, oh man, extreme pain. But I've been through this before, and I knew with the help of God and time heals all this. And you guys are talking about pedophiles growing up, my younger brother and two of our friends. He encountered with a pedophile, promised him gifts and gave us alcohol and cigarettes. You know, parents need to be aware.
Yeah. Amen.
Really happy. But anyway, I just got a great program today.
Well,
and,
thanks.
And also, the water study, with you tonight, I didn't have enough water. You know, I haven't had water for about 2 weeks, one out of three. And next month, I'm not seeing my retina, so I keep the water restored. I have to use the landlord's son to get water from him, and he doesn't like selling it. But anyway, yeah.
Well, thanks for calling, Terry. Sure do appreciate it.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. And we'll go back to you, Tim. Oh, I mean, Will.
I'm here. I just got a message that Iran has struck Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. that they have sent missiles into the capital of Saudi Arabia, striking Saudi Arabia.
Why would they strike Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia is an ally of the United States. That's the only thing I can come up with,
huh.
Jason. That's a scary proposition. I mean, it's they're not friendly necessarily. They're two different types of Muslims, with the Shia and Sunni and all of that bull crap. But I'm looking at video of it right now, and so yeah, that's.
Wow,
I don't know.
I'm seeing the same thing. Interesting. Wow, talk about wars and rumors of wars, huh?
That's exactly what I thought of, Jason. Going back to what the Russian quote that we read earlier of, you know, this is just going to escalate everything in the Middle East. So, yeah, it looks like Iran has attacked Qatar, and I don't want to say attacked. I think they've responded by sending missiles into Qatar and Bahrain and Jordan and Saudi Arabia, and these are all places that the United States has military presence.
Man. Huh. Interesting.
Well, no one's going to care about which senator was on Epstein's plane now, huh?
Yeah, maybe they should. We should load all of them up and send them back over there to Israel to go back and spend some time with Epstein some more.
Yeah, they've already got passport.
They do. So, oh my gosh. Well, that's.
It occurred to me here, I was thinking about what Kevin said, just to jump back for just a second, but as far as local attacks that, you know, are sleeper cells and stuff, that whole El Paso deal was really strange. You know, we were all wondering, you know, cartels or this or that. I mean, there was no, but they shut that, they shut the El Paso airport down for 10 days. I mean, that's like an international hub, isn't it? I mean, it's like, imagine the amount, I mean, they love their money, so imagine the amount of money that was lost there over a 10-day shutdown. Nothing in, nothing out. But that could have been something like that, and of course it was all passed off as, I think it was a party balloon. Does that sound lame to anybody else? You know, so, I mean, it's like, okay. Anyways, just for free to think about.
Well, I'll jump on top of that, Tim, that we've known the Iranians have been developing, for the lack of a better terminology, low-tech drones for 20 years now. And I don't mean like the sophisticated military drones that they do have that we gave them, but regardless that they've been developing low-tech drones, weaponizing low-tech drones in partnership with China. And these are the drones that have been used in the Ukraine.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that. That's how they're getting funneled into the Ukraine, is it's Chinese drones that have been militarized by the Iranians. Well, we know that the Mexican cartels went to the Ukraine to learn how to use those drones. So, yeah, I think it ties directly back to our border.
Yeah. Just a thought, you know. I mean, you don't believe everything you get told or everything you see. So,
right.
Exactly. We got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller. Hello. Okie dokie. Well, we'll go back to you, men. They didn't want to talk.
You know, this was on my notes of because there was another incident that happened this week, earlier in the week, where another drone was shot down on the southern border. And it happened to be that it was a Border Patrol drone that was shot down that I guess different facets of the federal government weren't talking to one another, but it was also shot down with a laser. And I really think the story here is, when did we weaponize the southern border with laser weapons?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the real story. Yeah. I mean, that's first off, you know, that's Buck Rogers Star Wars stuff, right? That, you know, I don't know of any nation in right now. Well, I mean, our nation, but I don't know. I did not know that there were deployable, practical laser weapons in the field. But obviously, they're on the southern border, because there's been at least two drones shot down in the last 2 weeks with laser weapons.
Yeah. At least that's what they tell us, 2 weeks. I mean, twice. I mean, it could have been more.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And again, we're back over there around, Fort Bliss and El Paso.
That's right.
Area.
El Paso.
So,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's interesting.
And really, my takeaway is, I want one.
Yeah.
I think I'm waiting for the Supreme Court case that is that covered under the Second Amendment. I want one.
Well,
I like the way you say.
Yeah.
Lasers are fire, and they're sidearm, so I think it should be, yeah, definitely a Second Amendment protected activity. So, I agree.
100%. I just want to use it for hunting and genuine sporting purposes, though. That you think the liberals will believe that?
Well, in all honesty, the Second Amendment is about more than that. So I don't understand what the big deal is. It's like, we're supposed to be able to be, you know, the whole purpose of the Second Amendment was to be as well armed as the enemy for
That's
the common
right.
people. And we're not
That's
defining
right.
the enemy here. We're just defining the details. But yeah, you'd think you'd want your.
And it was intended for the people,
yeah.
the citizens, to be as well armed as an opposing enemy. And I'm looking at, you know, I'm not far from the border. If I got cartels flying drones over, I want one of those laser guns too.
Yeah. Well, and apparently anybody can make a mistake, because these guys did. They shot down one of their own. So it's,
yeah.
Whoops. You know. Well, I don't know what kind of paperwork that involves, or apologies, but that's interesting too. If it's true. I mean, you know,
if it's true,
we don't know. Yeah.
I look at everything with a weathered eye there, Tim, but I think what you see is there's anybody that's ever been down to El Paso. Fort Bliss is a massive military base, and El Paso is all around it. So anything that's, and it's not like it's the desert, right? I mean, you can see things in the sky from a long way away. So when, I guess a laser beam shoots up out of the ground and lights up the night sky, somebody's gonna see this. So, just like the weather balloon was a really lame, excuse or explanation, maybe they're trying to make it a little more legitimate, because people down there know that Border Patrol flies drones all the time. Maybe that's the lame excuse this time. It's better than saying, hey, a Chinese-made, Iranian-produced drone was flying over our southern border and we had to shoot it down. Maybe that's what really happened. And, you know, I don't know.
Well, it's almost become a standing joke in the Intelligence Committee as far as the training exercise, you know, crash. So they had to come up with some new stuff. I mean, it's like training exercise.
It didn't make sense to me that, I mean, the SOP there is any of those drones that are flying, especially in military airspace along the border, they're in communication with the FAA and air traffic controllers. They know what's in the airspace, and certainly the Border Patrol is going to communicate with those controllers to know that they're flying a mission, they're in airspace. that's going to get communicated to the military that's controlling the airspace with weapons and that sort of thing. So I don't really believe that it was an accident, that they didn't know that it was a Border Patrol. I lean with it was probably a an unknown aircraft that was shot out of the sky with this new laser weapon, and they're just saying that it's something that it's not.
That's kind of where I'm at. Call me jaded, but that's, it's like, I doubt it. So, and it's kind of sad because the AP article I was reading, we're talking about the lawmakers' heads were exploding over the news, and we're seeing the result of incompetence. And so whatever happened there was a fairly large thing that this is damage control. It would have been better off to just not say anything about it if you were worried
Absolutely.
About it. But, yeah. So I think that's what we're seeing. Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, we got about 5 minutes left, guys. I don't know, with all the stuff that's going on, what's a good prepper tip of the week?
Will?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know if it has anything to do with Iran at all, but I'm going to go back to that that old gal that was the rapper that was raining hellfire down on our enemy. I can tell you what my prepper tip for this weekend is, at least. It's 65 degrees here right now, and I'm wearing shorts. And here shortly, I'm going to be out in the garden. And I'm doing that not just because it's a good thing to do and that we're called to be, tillers of the soil and that sort of thing. I'm doing it because I don't want the reliance on the grocery stores and the supply chains. Like what Tim was talking about, Jason, of we're going to see crude oil go up. That transitions directly to diesel costs. Diesel costs is our over-the-road truckers, the locomotives that bring things all across this country. And when you see that oil spike, it's going to transition into what's on the store shelves. And I can tell you that my $2.50 pack of tomato seeds, or whatever the case may be, that's my prepper tip of the week. Is if you're able, spring is gonna be here for all of us very quickly. There is no time like the present to prepare a garden, to plan it out, that sort of thing. And there was a such time in this country that when we were Americans, when this was truly the America that our parents and our grandparents grew up, everybody kept their victory garden, and it so that you weren't reliant on the system, so to speak. And we are a people, our people, our Anglo people. We historically are self-sufficient people, and we have fallen into the trap of the enemy, the snare of the enemy, of being dependent either on the government or the stores or whatever. And just like that gal said in her comments towards the enemy, anything you can do to break loose from that snare, get your arm out, get your foot out, man, and work on breaking free. If it's just planting some peppers and tomatoes and a little bit of squash or whatever, at least you can make a pretty good succotash. And I do it on a bigger scale than most, but we do it because we are free people. And we find freedom and not having to rely on the grocery store. And we take pride too. And I'm going to say that with an honest heart, that when we sit down for supper, we regularly like to look at our plates and say, everything on this plate, we either killed, butchered, or grew. And we find freedom in that. And I think there's no time like the present, Jason, to embrace those beliefs and try to break yourself away from the system. So I guess that's my prepper tip of the week.
I think that's perfect. Excellent point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys, for being here this morning. I don't know where the last 2 hours went, but they went by pretty darn fast, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Do appreciate it. Have a good day. Have a good day, Remnant.